Love or fear? When we read the verse in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love." Fear and love. We see those words all throughout the Bible. Who is the first person in the Bible to fear? Who is the first person who was afraid?
Adam
was the first person to be afraid. In Genesis 3:10, when God asked him, Adam answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Why was he afraid? Because he realized he had disobeyed. He realized he had disobeyed. So when we read the word fear throughout the Bible, is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? In some cases, I would say fear is a pretty good thing. Walking through the desert and there's a rattlesnake on the ground, guess what you've got? Fear. You're going to do something about it. That's when the adrenaline pumps. That's a kind of fear. That's a pretty good fear, right? It's a pretty good fear. But do we really understand when we read God's word what the word fear really means? You know, unfortunately, the words in Hebrew, the Hebrew word yare, and in the word in Greek, phobos, which gives us that word phobia, okay, they are both translated into the English word fear. But they have multiple meanings, and it's really important to understand the context, and in some cases, it's even necessary, unfortunately, to go to a concordance and try to look up that original word and see what it means in the context of the scripture. You know, in actual fact, in the Bible, the word fear, the English word fear, appears over 995 times. And it's all in different derivatives of the original Hebrew or Greek, and in many cases has different meanings. In many cases, we read the word fear because it is Christ is in the process of either rescuing his people or defending his people. We have the time when, you know, the spies were sent into Canaan and they came back and they had fear. They were afraid in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses... did I put that in here? No, I didn't put it in. I'm sorry. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, these spies come back and they say, "Where can we go? Our brothers have made our hearts melt in fear. They say the people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large with walls to the sky. We even saw the Anakites there." They were afraid. They had fear. But then the Lord also puts fear into other people. Just as Les mentioned just a few minutes ago, when the Israeli troops or the troops, God's troops, went out, the kingdom of Israel, with the musicians ahead of them, what did he do to the people that they were to encounter? It says in Deuteronomy 2, verse 25, "This very day I will begin to put the terror and the fear of you on all the nations under heaven." Those nations were given fear of Israel because God put it in them. "They will hear reports of you and they will tremble and they will be in anguish because of you." There were so many examples in the Old Testament where with just a few people, God's people, were able to defeat nations in many different ways. Today, we live in a world of fear. We live in a world where our society has become violent. Unfortunately, we're in a society where we resort to guns and not to God. We are anxious about anything and everything. where we have an uncertainty of our future because the moral standards that we live by today are gradually eroding. We have concern and fear of people's health and our own health. We have concern for the health of the planet. And at times we just feel helpless and fragile. And when we read throughout the scripture the many times it says we are to fear the Lord, it sometimes seems paradoxical that on one hand we are to fear the Lord, and then on another that Jesus Christ has freed us from fear. It could seem that fearing God would be a negative thing. It should give us apprehension, that we should be afraid. We may ask, how can love and grace, the gospel, and then fear all be bundled together to set us free from fear? Yet the fear God wants us to have is not the fear of punishment, not the fear or to be terrified as if he is some tyrant. The fear God wants us to have is to have the fear of all who God is. What he has done for us and what we can all look forward to in the future. Can the fear of God be a wonderful, liberating, joyful fear? You know, there was that fear that we read already in Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, where Adam was afraid because he knew he had sinned. And he had tried to hide from God. That was a sinful fear. It is the fear an unbeliever has today who ignores or hates God and runs away from God or denies God. That kind of fear is the kind that is at odds with the love of God. It is the fear that is at the heart of sin. When we look in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, it says one of the definitions of fear. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. We are to hate sin. It's basically what it is saying. That is to fear God, is to go away from sin. What is the right and loving kind of fear? It says, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. It's in Proverbs 16:6. And then in Proverbs 19, it says, the fear of the Lord will lead us to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. We can rest. We can rest and be content if we have the fear of the Lord. If we have the fear of the Lord. Not that we are afraid, but that we have the right kind of fear. How can we rest content through fear? It is knowing and believing that we have been set free. Thanks to Jesus Christ. It is understanding that the word fear can also mean reverence and astonishment and awe and respect and delight in the fact that Christ gave his life for us. That we are astonished in awe. It's unbelievable when you think that a person would do what he did. It's in the reverence of what Jesus Christ has done for us. That is the fear of the Lord. That awe, that astonishment, that reverence. In Romans chapter 8, verse 2, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set us free, set you free from the law of sin and death. That's why we have fear. We have been set free from the law. But now, in Romans 6, verse 22, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, and by the way, this word slaves It's not slaves like we think of a slave. This is a positive thing. It's being brought into a family and to be taken care of for the rest of your eternal life. That's the meaning of this word slave here. It says, now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. What a tremendous gift, this being set free. That's why we fear the Lord, because we are free. It's awe, it's reverence. But there is another kind of fear. There is another kind of fear that we should be aware of. It is the fear of denying God. It is the fear that you should have if you do not believe God exists. It is the fear of those who are the enemies of God and what he does, because you should fear. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, it says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. That's the kind of fear I don't want. I hope you don't either. It says in Hebrews 9:27, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, everybody faces judgment. And in Hebrews 10, it says it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Boy, I don't want that fear. But you know what? We can rejoice. We have a joyful fear. Our fear is one that comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says in John chapter 5, truly, truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Wow. Crossed over from death to life. What a tremendous, tremendous blessing. We have been set free to fear the Lord with the right kind of fear. We have been set free to have perfect love, the love of Christ that he has given us, so that we may have love for him and fear him with awe and gratitude and respect, and how great and powerful and loving he is. We just don't imagine how great our God is. I like to read Psalm 89 or parts of Psalm 89 about how great this God is that we do fear out of love. The heavens praise your wonders, Lord, your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared, loved, respected, held in awe. He is more awesome than all who surround him. Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. In verse 11, the heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that's in it. He created everything. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you. To acclaim you, another word for acclaim is to fear you, to honor you, to love you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. By Jesus' great sacrifice, by the love of God, we have been set free. We can rejoice, we can be joyful, and it is a fearful joy. I saw this the other day and I thought this was very interesting. When we take the word fear, and I know you can only do this in the English language, it's only appropriate for us. It wouldn't work in any other language, but it's a really good way of trying to remember what does the word fear really mean. And fear, it's very simple. The F of fear is faith. The faith that we believe in Jesus Christ. The belief that he shed his blood so that we have eternal life. The faith that we have been given thanks to the grace of God. And the E is the experience of having received that grace, that gift that has been given to us. And the A is the awe, that we hold God in awe for all that he has done. Not just the sacrifice, but what he has created, that he protects us, that we can go to him in prayer each and every day. We can share our hearts with him, our troubles with him, and he hears and he answers. And then the R of fear, that we show reverence and that we show respect. We don't show that we are afraid. We go with confidence in front of our Savior and our King and our Father, with the Holy Spirit in us, this power in us that says, God, we love you. We fear you because of our faith and your grace and what you have done. And we revere you and respect you. I thought about being afraid. God doesn't want us to be afraid. A little boy had a part in a school play. And the part was very simple. He had to come out on stage and read, "It is I, be not afraid." And he came out on the stage and he said, "It's me, I'm scared." And that's what we aren't. We should not be scared. We should not be afraid. The fear that we have been given is this fear to love God and respect him and revere him. You know, thank Jesus that we have no reason. That we have no reason to have the wrong kind of fear. Let's have the right kind of fear for our Lord and Savior, for our Jesus Christ, for our Father and the Holy Spirit. You know, many people do things for different reasons, right? They obey. We're told to obey God's law. Some people obey because they think they have to. They are afraid. They fear. Sometimes they obey because there is a reward. You're going to get something for it. But the reason we obey, the reason we fear, is because of love. Because we love Christ and we love our fellow man. That's what fear is. So when we read and we are told many, many times and asked and commanded to fear the Lord, let us fear in faith. Let us fear knowing that we have been given grace. We fear with awe and with respect and with joy. The joy of being loved, that we have a fearful joy. You know, the Spirit of God, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." So let's go back to that very first scripture, 1 John chapter 4. And I added one more verse. There is no fear in love, right? Love has no fear in it, and there should be. But perfect love drives out fear, the wrong kind of fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. God does not punish us. God loves us. The one who fears is not made perfect. The one who fears, as we've read, is a person who has sinned or a sinner or who does not believe in God. So the one who fears is not made perfect in love. But we pray for them that they are. Because, in the final verse 19 here, we love, why? Because he first loved us. We love because Christ first loved us. And how did he love us? He loved us by dying on the cross. He loved us by setting us free. He loved us by putting us on a journey to be made perfect in love. That's what he wants us to be, made perfect in love. I'd like to say thank you, God, and close with this prayer. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free. Thank you, Lord, for loving us first so that we may love you. Thank you, great God. Help us to fear you, but to fear you with the love that you have given us, that we are not afraid, but that we fear you thanks to the faith that you have given us, the grace that you have given us, that we hold you in awe as the great creator and giver of all things, and that we revere you and worship you and praise you. And that when we add these all things together, that we fear you, that we fear you joyfully. We just thank you, great God. We praise you, and we fear you. In Jesus' name, amen.